We are told that the 1951 film by Robert Wise, The Day the Earth Stood Still, is a landmark in science fiction cinema. Its groundbreaking special effects and portrayal of extraterrestrial life are memorable, but it is its deep sociopolitical commentary that sets it apart. Released in the early years of the Cold War, the film reflects the anxieties and fears of a world teetering on the brink of a nuclear exchange. While many 1950s sci-fi films were centered on paranoia and fear of the other, The Day the Earth Stood Still takes a more thoughtful approach. It uses its visitor from outer space to deliver a message of peace and warning to humanity. Its themes of global unity, the destructive potential of nuclear weapons, and the need for a higher moral consciousness are as relevant today as they were during the film's release, that we're reminded by Christian Heinke. And some creative people in Hazleton have resonated with that message, and we'll have more on that soon. But to bring this tale to life, an unequaled production team was assembled to create the special effects. For scenes where Klaatu and Gort step out onto the Washington, D.C. ellipse, a massive full-scale mock-up was built on the 20th Century Fox backlot. It was over 100 feet in diameter and 25 feet tall, constructed out of wood, wire framework, and plaster painted to look like seamless alien metal. One of the film's legendary practical secrets was how the spaceship's door appeared and vanished out of nowhere, like living tissue leaving no scar, as the architect Frank Lloyd Wright would have it. The construction crew achieved this cleanly with a plaster door. When closed, they filled the cracks with putty and painted over it entirely. To capture the door opening, the camera rolled after the crew broke the putty seal and began sliding it back. As far as Frank Lloyd Wright goes, Keith Hillen reports, there does seem to have been a connection in all of this to that famous American architect, but the degree to which Frank Lloyd Wright was involved in designing the flying saucer from The Day the Earth Stood Still is up for debate. In fact, Wright's involvement in the production in any capacity may be a Hollywood legend. There is a persistence in the story, though, with various sources of corroboration on record. Wright's involvement would have come at some point in early 1951, and he would have likely been commissioned by the seasoned set designers Thomas Little and Claude Carpenter. It's said that inspiration for Wright's hire came from the futuristic interior of Wright's Johnson Wax headquarters in Racine, Wisconsin, built 12 years earlier. This sealed Art Modern construction is lit from above, and one room features a forest of streamlined dendriform columns whose canopies very much resemble sleek flying saucers. It was around this time that Wright was at work on the Guggenheim Art Museum, which now seems like a continuation and evolution of his ideas expressed in the Johnson Wax building. Curvilinear forms, elevated light sources, mod utopian idealisms. If there was any crossover between the design work on the Art Museum and the film, that would make, ha ha ha, the Guggenheim at least part spaceship, permanently docked in the middle of New York City. According to fellow architect and visionary artist Paul Laffoley, Wright wanted the flying saucer to demonstrate alien technology not only capable of interstellar travel, but that acts like living tissue and could heal like a wound, leaving a continuous surface with no scar. That from an article by Heath Killen in 2020. It's not a Hollywood back lot, but it's a space where creativity is encouraged and dreams are developed and, yes, launched. A good space metaphor there. The Hazleton Launch Box is a no-cost startup accelerator initiative providing early-stage companies support and resources, and it is a hub of creative thinking. and it is the perfect spot for young people to imagine and create a model for the kind of world they'd like to live in. And they're using the 1951 movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, as their inspiration. The Hazleton Art League is hosting its Art Youth Expo for the 15th year, Friday and Saturday, May 29th and 30th, as part of a new event, the first annual community art party at the Hayden Family Center for the Arts on West Broad Street, with special activities at the Hazleton Launch Box. The name, Community Art Party, does lead off with the word community, and community is the theme for the entire weekend. Dr. Carl Frankel, president of the Hazleton Art League, and Summer Whitley, the coordinator of Art Youth Expo 15, joined at the table by WVIA's Robert Salzberg, all paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about what's on offer and to give us a bit of history about the Hazleton Art League.
They became official in 47. So next year, big year, our 80th anniversary. And it was a big deal for many years, 500 average membership, I think, for years. And that was the era in which there were a lot of well-educated women who did not have careers because they grew up in the 50s and all that. So their job was to raise children. And so they started organizations and ran organizations. And we don't have those people anymore. So we were just slowly withering on the vine at the old building. And then along came this wonderful opportunity to move into the new place. And the $2 million of fundraising that the city managed to put together, which is incredible. $2 million is a lot in Hazleton to raise that kind of money. And the rest, as they say, is history.
What was wonderful in touring, Robert and I had a chance to join you for the celebration, and we went through the halls and recognized a number of artists from the Wyoming Valley area that are in your collection, right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, Chester Colson.
That's the one I remember. And every time I passed by that picture, I said, oh, that's the one that Erica, and yeah, that you remembered.
And Chester was not only a Wyoming Valley artist and a professor at Wilkes University College then, he was a good family friend of my family and I think of Erica's as well.
That's right. But it was wonderful to see that cross-pollination, and I wonder what is the source of your permanent collection sources?
A lot of them have the little plaques on the frame that say this was a purchase award from Fidelity Bank or whatever. So they had that at the big show that Ruth Howe ran every year, the regional. I think they had two or three purchase awards. Others were gifts of the artist. We just had quite a pipeline for collecting art for years.
Do you rotate like museums in big cities and so forth? You put some examples from your permanent collection out, or do you have enough staff to do that?
We don't. And one of the things, if we ever get our second level of art built so that we have a two-level art gallery, we thought that might give us a place to have featured parts of our permanent collection that could be taken out of their home on the wall and featured there. Certain themes or certain artists or something like that.
And in addition to having regular shows and offering classes and programs, when do you remember reaching out into the streets of Hazleton to do community work?
That's kind of Art League 2.0. That's our news since we moved, since we took a deep breath and spent the money to hire an executive director and an assistant. Before, even if we'd thought of doing something like that, we didn't have the people to organize it. We didn't have the whatever. So yeah, moving into the building wasn't just a change of real estate. It was really a change of focus for the organization. And, you know, one of the reasons they raised the money for the Art League was because they had spent a lot of money having a study done on what could be done with downtown Hazleton. And like so many other communities, they identified arts and entertainment as a way to grow downtowns. And so we were the only show in town. So they came to the Art League and they were moved to help us get along and develop. And so that's partly why we're in the new building. And that's partly why we have a serious backing of the city, who maybe liked us before, but we were kind of peripheral to their consciousness. But now they love working with us, and they will say things to Mark when he goes to chamber meetings or something like that. And they say, wow, you guys are awesome. You really are the arts and entertainment in downtown Hazleton. and our chest puff with pride. But we're hoping, you know, that's just the basis for more good things to happen.
Well, I remember that you've been here a number of times with AYE, and you tell us about what it began as and what it's now becoming.
Well, AYE was my idea, but I never get anything done on my own, so I managed to convince a small group of people to make it our idea. And we were still in the old building. This is our 15th annual, so this was quite a while ago. And it was based on the idea that our membership was dwindling, a lot of things were dwindling. And I looked around and I asked myself, I said, what do people in this town come out for? And what they came out for is things their kids did. You know, they may not ever go to plays, but if their kids are in a play, they would go to see it. They may have no interest in football, but they'll go to see their kids play football. Well, if we have a youth-oriented art thing, they'll come down and support the arts because their kids' paintings are in it. It was just blatant opportunism like that. And of course, it also served to support those kids in their artistic endeavors. I don't want to underplay. I mean, we realized that from the start. But the actual genesis of the idea was to do something to make ourselves more noticed and more beloved in the community, because if we were ever going to be able to move out of our building, we'd looked at places, and we looked at three or four buildings in the old Art League, but we would have had to buy them ourselves. And after we looked at them, some of them we even liked, it was like, well, yeah, we really like it, so where do we get the $340,000 to buy it and the other $340,000 to renovate it? And so nothing ever happened. So then the thought was, we just have to raise our profile in the community so that we can actually go to them and say, throw some money at the arts. And then we'd still be in that bind if it weren't for the Haydens. For their own reasons, they're really invested in the place and the institution. So they're our biggest supporters and donors. But a lot more people are sort of invested in the arts now.
When were you starting to become involved with the Art League, Summer? Were you a little one and paying attention, or did you become aware more recently?
So I used to take classes at the Hazleton Art League when I was a kid. I took the Introduction to Drawing course that was offered by Mark Charles Rooney way back in 2009. And that kickstarted my interest in the arts. But then as time went on, I got busy with other activities, and at some point, while all of that was happening, the Art League moved down the street, and I got reinvested when I was in college. I wanted something to do in the summer that I felt would be a benefit to my community, and I saw that the Art League was still kicking, and they were in a new building. So I reached out to see if I could intern there during the summers while I was in college, and that's how I got involved, and now I'm there year-round.
What are your responsibilities then?
Flexible and ever-changing. But primarily, I handle our digitization, I handle our website, I handle e-commerce, all the stuff that's bringing the Art League into the 21st century. That's the stuff that I'm doing. But the biggest thing that I'm working on right now, in addition to Art Youth Expo, is our Bloomberg Connects guide, which is going to showcase those pieces of the permanent collection that we don't get to always have on view. So you don't have to come to the Art League, you don't have to rummage around in our storage closets. You can see high quality photos with interviews and interpretations right on that app. And that is my biggest thing right now outside of Art Youth Expo.
We need to ask then, Art Youth Expo has grown since the start, but it's also being transformed this year. So explain the growth and the transformation, Carl.
Yes. We always tried to grow Art Youth Expo by having a lot of ancillary activities besides the art exhibition itself. But this year we decided to take it a step further because FunFest ran its natural course and sort of ran out of gas a few years ago. And there hasn't been a major downtown event in Hazleton. The mayor has created several nice events out at City View Park. And that's his baby, and he's done a wonderful job there. But there's nothing downtown. And we don't even have really raucous Dominican Independence Day parades the way we used to. Nothing major happens downtown. And I watch on TV and I'm jealous of the Pittston Tomato Festival and all these things that have somehow grown into major tourist attractions. We decided to try to enlarge Art Youth Expo into this community art party. And I had bigger plans for it this year than are turning out to be, but that's fine because this is the first year. You can't get everything at once, but we have a lot more things which are based around creative activity, but are different and more varied than what we used to have in Art Youth Expo, trying to appeal to a wider group of people. For instance, we purposely created some activities for little kids. Art Youth Expo is for artists from 13 to 30, but there was really nothing for the five-year-olds. But now for the art party, we thought, we want to bring the little kids, and of course their parents, downtown. And so we have several things for them. And the hope will be that it begins to catch on and that we have a basis for growth next year and make it bigger and bigger. At some point in the future, we'd like it to include a parade because for many years, the parade was a big part of FunFest, but one year at a time. The parade, in our thinking, wouldn't be the typical parade with the homecoming queen and all that. It would be something creative. Many years ago, I saw a parade put on by crazy people in California, but it was all weird stuff. And the one I remember was a very disciplined marching band of people in business suits carrying attaché cases and banging on them rhythmically. It was all hysterical stuff like that. And I thought, well, maybe we could have, you know, instead of the fire trucks, we could have kids decorate their bikes or their scooters or something like that. And, you know, just creative, funky parade like that. You know, we want it to be something that people would come to Hazleton for. First, we have to bring Hazleton people out to downtown. But the hope is that this would be something.
Summer, we know that in Art Youth Expos in the past, young people were invited to submit examples of their artwork in that range of ages. Is that still the case?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The Community Art Party isn't replacing Art Youth Expo. The Community Art Party is like the outer shell of Art Youth Expo. Art Youth Expo this year is still the core of Community Art Party. It will continue for years to come. The arts exhibition celebrating our young artists, both typically in high school and in college, just out of college, new and emerging artists, that will always be the heart of the Community Art Party. We will always be celebrating our local young artists. So that is very much still a thing this year.
Robert, what would you think it could mean for a young artist to have his or her work hanging in a gallery like the one that the Hayden Family Center has, the Hazleton Art League Gallery? Would that give a sense of self-confidence to an artist, do you suppose?
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine that it wouldn't. It's very important to see your work in public, in one place or another, preferably in a gallery, in an art-oriented location. It means you're part of the art community, the working art community, as well as if you're a local Hazletonian, for instance, it also means that you're an artist member of the civic community. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal to show and be shown.
And you make the artists who are applying observe the protocols for real artists, right?
Yes, absolutely. Many artists who submit to Art Youth Expo, it's their first exhibition they've ever done. So we have them go through the entire process. They fill out forms. They fill out artwork tags. They prepare statements for artist talks. And they get their work examined by judges. And some of them win prize money for things like technique, creativity, uniqueness. It's a really valuable gallery experience, as well as getting involved in the community in that way, getting to know your fellow artists. You also get to know the system in a very low-stakes, easy way. It's a very low-stakes way to get involved and learn very valuable information about the gallery experience.
Low stakes, that's very important. That really is the gallery world, the art world, the art scene is pretty vicious and pretty exclusionary. And yes, it does mean a lot that the stakes are low. That's important.
The stakes are low. There's no fee to enter. We want this to be accessible. We want young artists to gain confidence in our gallery.
Now, do the young artists show alongside established artists?
Yes. So we have two age categories. We have our 13 to 18, so those are our high schoolers, our teenagers, alongside 19 to 30, which will be our more established artists, artists who have probably shown once or twice. They will be together. They will also be shown alongside all of our established artists in our private collection. They're all in the same building all together.
It's good to be up there on the wall or on the floor or wherever your artwork happens to be, along with established artists as well.
I did want to tell you about some of the things we're doing at Community Art Party, Beyond the Art Youth Expo. One of the gentlemen who is working on our committee for the art party suggested, I don't know if theme is the right word, but let's say theme of community, coming together as a community. I was just sort of talking about a few minutes ago. So we've created a couple of events. For instance, we used to just open, like, okay, we're open at 1 o'clock, doors are open, come on down. And now we wanted to have some sort of opening ceremony, and we had all kinds of ideas. And we're going to have a short ceremony in which everybody's invited to come down and sing together America the Beautiful in English and Spanish. And we'll be waving little American flags we have to give out. I thought it's something we all share in very different ways, I guess, as we all know, but we all love our country and we are a very bicultural, bilingual city now. So we thought that would be appropriate. And there is a lot of joy in singing together. It's a wonderful feeling if you can get that happening. We had a flash mob or flash choir event in Hazleton several years ago that the people up at the Hip Center organized. And they were sensible enough to make sure there were people who committed to be there, lest the event fall on its face. But those of us who attended, it was wonderful. It's nothing like singing with a whole bunch of other people, and nobody cares if you're a little off key, because that's the way it is. And at the Launch Box, we're putting together an exhibit mainly by these students, again, from Karas Academy, called Brazoville. Now, Bruce Brazo is a local artist who does all kinds of abstract work. He paints, he assembles. But one of the things he's done is he made these little weird sort of robot-y creatures with pie plates for faces. You know, they're vaguely humanoid. So do either of you remember the science fiction movie from 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
sure.
It's so wonderful to be with people. Okay, so you know about Gort the robot and all that.
What's the expression?
Klaatu bararat. Gort. Klaatu bararat. Dikto. So I'm glad you remember. So to put together this emphasis on recycling and upcycling and thrift shopping, which the Launch Box is involved in, and this idea of community and getting together, we have invented Brazoville, where the students and some of the faculty at Karas Academy are going to be building out of entirely leftover pieces of styrofoam and wood and junk material a sort of little village, a hacienda, Brazoville. But here's the premise. Bruce Brazo's robots are going to be sprinkled around there. And who are they? They are the impassive robots sent to us by the wise aliens who have been surveying us for years and now see that we are on the verge of destroying ourselves because of all the discord and disagreement in the world. The premise of The Day the Earth Stood Still. And so at Brazoville, there will be the robots sitting there impassively, and you better hope they stay quiet, because if they come to life, it'll be because we have disappointed them. They're going to destroy us utterly. So the students will be building this little community where the wise aliens have said, you have to show us that different people with different ideas can get together and work together. And so whatever they're building, I haven't seen it yet, will demonstrate that. And it'll be all made out of recycled stuff. And the public will be invited to help the people of Brazoville save the earth from impending destruction by doing their own little art pieces or writing little notes to put up on bulletin boards to convince the robots, we have seen the errors of our ways, and we will work together and make this world a better place. That's Brazoville. And it's meaningful for Hazleton because, you know, Hazleton is working really hard, and I think quite successfully, to integrate two very different ethnic communities. And I'm proud of our town. I think we're doing a pretty good job, and I think that's worth celebrating. And I think it's worth showing the robots, too.
Have you seen anything of Brazoville yet?
Oh, I haven't seen any of it put together yet, but I have seen many of Brazo's pieces. those large humanoid beings made out of pipes and wires. They're a little intimidating, to be honest. But they're also quite colorful. And the fact that they're colorful kind of takes away the pointiness and the intimidating nature of how imposing they can be. So I think they're a really good middle ground for something that can be threatening, but is ultimately very interesting to look at and very engaging to interact with. I think they're great pieces for this setup because they strike that balance very well.
One of the things that we hope will attract children and adults, we accidentally discovered a young man in town who does 3D printing. He writes his own programs. I mean, he's very creative with 3D printing. Well, he has created life-size, which in some cases is 4 feet big, anatomically correct 3D printed dinosaur skulls. And they're just things of beauty. And so we're going to exhibit them. And the public library, another one of our partners, is going to have story reading for children to accompany that with dinosaur-themed stories, which is something they plan to do this summer in their summer reading program, but they're going to introduce that during the art party. So these are some of the different things that we wouldn't have had at Art Youth Expo that we're trying to expand with in the art party.
And we also have several other things that I feel like wouldn't have been included before.
Like the Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, we have someone running 2 Dungeons & Dragons one-shots during the day. For the uninitiated, a one-shot is just a simple 2 to 3 hour game that you sit down, you make your character together, and then you play for 2 hours, and that's it. It's just a whole story. That wouldn't have been around before. And in the last couple years, we've started incorporating circus arts performers. We've been bringing in tattoo artists. So we have representatives from all sorts of different facets of art in our community, which I am very excited about.
People up at the Hazleton Integration Project, they are also partners of ours, and they're sending us Ecuadorian dancers and a young lady who does modeling with some of her friends.
Outside much of this, most of this, other than at the launch box or in the gallery?
Can we join together and pray for good weather? We want it to be outside.
We have many things planned for outside. Most of it, ideally, will be outside. But if the weather betrays us, we have places for everything to go inside, covered, across the block.
And we have 2 different ways of doing music. We always have an open mic. So that would be after the art show opens on Friday night at 7 o'clock, we move to our studio upstairs for an open mic. And everybody's welcome. There's no sign-up needed. Just show up with your guitar, your bagpipe, or your dancing shoes or whatever. But then on Saturday, one of our board members who is heavily involved in music, 2 of them actually up at MMI, is putting together an afternoon of music on a stage out in the park. But we wanted to create a vibe not so much of, okay, here's their band, they're going to do their set for half an hour, and then we'll wait for 20 minutes for the next band to set up. Not like acts, but more like a hootenanny, where just people get up and play as much for each other as for a crowd. So we're trying to broaden, like this could be a church choir, this could be a garage band, this could be any type of music. And you have the mic and you have the stage and sort of the vibe we have for the open mic. You know, the open mics, I'm sure you've been to performances like that, guys, that they're very supportive. You know, no matter how much you forget your lines or anything else, the people applaud widely because they know what it takes when you're an amateur to get up on stage in front of people, and they're so supportive. It's heartwarming. I'm always moved by the way that is. The first year we did it, they were snapping instead of clapping because we were going for a bohemian beatnik era atmosphere that year. But this year we'll just do regular applause, I think.
What about poetry? Sometimes you had poetry involved.
Thank you. We have a lovely young woman, Sulette Lang, who was the winner of a statewide poetry recitation contest a couple of years ago. She has worked at our summer art camp, and she will be doing a haiku workshop for people to learn what haiku is, or you already know, but you'd like to practice doing some. That will be happening Saturday afternoon. You can recite poetry at the open mic, but the only dedicated poetry event we have is that haiku workshop that Sulette's going to be running.
It's a Friday and Saturday event. Is that what it is?
Yes. So our gallery opening and our open mic both take place on Friday evening, where there will be light refreshments. Artists will get to mingle and interact with each other, get kind of the first look at the gallery. And then Saturday is the community art party, and also where the awards for our gallery show and our open mic will take place. So our Saturday event is kind of the big one, and Friday is for our artists to get to know each other.
We just heard from the coordinator of Art Youth Expo 15, Summer Whitley, and Dr. Carl Frankel, who is president of the Hazleton Art League. And we were all joined at the table by WVIA's Robert Salzberg, who has a strong interest in the visual arts and art history. And we were speaking about the Art Youth Expo 15 event taking place on May 29th and 30th in Hazleton, downtown Hazleton, and the first annual community art party. The event will, as Summer just told us, get underway on Friday, May 29th. That's at 5 in the evening, and that's for the gallery opening and the open mic, and that will run until 8 o'clock. And then the next day, Saturday, May 30th, at 1 p.m., the community art party gets underway with the award ceremony that day, Saturday at 6 p.m. And it's all at the Hayden Family Center for the Arts, 31 West Broad Street in Hazleton, though there will be music in the park outside. And also we heard about the special events taking place at the Launch Box, the Hazleton Launch Box. You can find all the details on the Hazleton Art League website, and it is just that, hazletonartleague.org, hazletonartleague.org. And the city of Hazleton is providing free parking in the Feely lot on Wyoming Street behind the Art League on Saturday. That's Saturday, May 30th, so that will make everything easier for you. That's free parking, thanks to the city of Hazleton, in the Feely lot on Wyoming Street. And that's on Saturday, May 30th. Again, it's the gallery opening and open mic on Friday, May 29th at 5 o'clock. The community art party activities Saturday, May 30th, getting underway at 1 o'clock. Awards ceremony at 6 on Saturday at the Hayden Family Center for the Arts, 31 West Broad Street in Hazleton. And the exhibition hours are taking place until Sunday, June 22nd, so you'll be able to get a view of the talents of the young artists in the region. For more information, hazletonartleague.org, hazletonartleague.org.